You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely fucked up? You know that feeling? That the whole country is like 1 inch away from saying, that's it, forget it. Let's see.
Hey, Twister Man, now look, here's a house full of bees. Feels like you think the honey badger cares? It doesn't give a shit.
Listen, let's get one thing straight.
Price is right.
Guns don't kill people. I dig.
Wow.
Thanks for that, Bill.
Well, I actually gave you a real answer to a question.
Stand up and proudly say, God bless you. God bless you. Bill of Rights. Thank God. I'm not ashamed to say I'm proud of the Fifth Amendment. And I'm not. I'm proud to admit, on camera, not on camera, but I will never walk the pages off the TV, sir.
Thank God!
Man, hold
it, I'm dead again!
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to Even Those Presidents That Were Against the Sky! We don't have tomorrow, just another day.
Well done on the deepest cut.
Yes, yes.
God dang, I haven't heard that in a long time.
That is such a good goddamn song.
What album is that? That's
Regatta de Blanca.
Regatta de Blanca, okay.
There was a moment where I was on a kick of just that song. Like,
yeah.
Just like tripping, like, how can a song be this good?
Yeah.
And I played it for Mike. He had never heard it. Before.
Really?
Yeah. We were driving around in my old green Ford Ranger.
Uh-huh.
Two-seater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2.3 liter.
Yeah, gotcha.
And we were listening to it, and he's like, God damn, this is a good song. And for whatever reason, we were on our way to Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And we walked into Lowe's, and that song started playing.
Oh, wow.
We looked at each other like, what the fuck? Yeah,
that old Police stuff, I mean, the earlier stuff's definitely my favorite, but I think all the albums are pretty great, but yeah, they are, I don't know, if someone made me list out the top 10 like greatest bands of all time, they'd definitely be up there.
You'd have to consider them.
Oh, absolutely.
His voice is just so haunting.
So
is it you that was telling me, you're probably about to tell me what you were telling me.
Yeah, so, you know, back before we had Pro Tools and everything was dumped into a computer and you didn't have to know,
Tools.
You didn't have to know how to play music to cut an album. Everything was on tape. And so it relied on musicianship being tight and singers being able to sing. There was no such thing as pitch correction and beat quantizing and all that stuff. But I remember reading an interview with someone who engineered or produced some of that old Police stuff. And to make a vocal sound more fuller, you double it, right?
You
double your vocal track or whatever.
Which is just you singing the exact same thing
exactly,
right over
the
last time you sang.
Right, and then they blend together. And what it is, it's like, if you're familiar with music at all, it's like adding chorus, you know, the effect of chorus. It's just slightly detuned.
There's minor inconsistencies between the two
gives it this, like,
times that you
this
sang
width
it.
And kind of like depth.
Sang
you
it?
Know?
Sung it.
Right. And Sting was such a freak of nature vocalist that he would match it perfectly, so it sounded like there was no double. It sounded like they copy and pasted it on a computer.
Right.
And so he had such, you know, the story goes, he had such amazing control of his voice. The producer's like, you have to sing just like, I'm talking about like, you know, a hundredth of a step.
Yeah,
just you know, out of tune. And he'd go, okay. And he'd do it, and it would give it that chorus effect, which is, I mean, it's
That's
amazing.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Even if you were accidentally that good, where you were just exactly the same every single time, to be able to actually correct that,
yeah,
and be wrong,
yeah, so, yeah.
Be off on purpose.
So, yeah, so
that is just
so it's twofold. He can do that, and you're like, it's too perfect. You got to knock it out of tune a little bit. Gotcha. You have that much control over his voice.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
what
insane.
A psycho.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah.
So you don't have cancer that we know of.
Yeah.
You got more tests back.
It turns out I don't have cancer, everybody.
And me neither.
Then, yeah. Dude, yeah. Cheers. And by the way, I'm drinking a Well, I'm not going to say, just in case my insurance company is listening. But just listen to this.
A beverage of your choice.
Yeah, they still don't know what's wrong with me, but I did go through the bone marrow biopsy, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Painful for my wife to watch, but yeah, not that big a deal. Don't let anyone scare you. If you're listening to this and you have to go have a bone marrow biopsy and you're expecting the most painful thing you've ever experienced,
yeah,
you're going to be disappointed. It's not that bad. It's about...
told me what they did, though. I mean, they literally screw something into your bone.
They take a stainless steel straw that's like serrated on the edge and has a handle, like a grip on the handle on the end, so that like it's T-shaped, so that it fits through your fingers, and you grab it and just twist it and drive it through the bone, essentially.
Jeez.
That part doesn't hurt. It's the sucking out of the marrow that hurts. And the sucking sounds like...
Just dear Lord.
I mean, can I get some earplugs? It's like, it's not that painful, but that sucking sound just really...
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Oh, God. It's cringy. Cringy. But yeah, it wasn't really that painful. If you can handle going to the dentist and getting a cavity filled, then you can handle that. It's not that bad.
I had to do the thing where my wife brought this packet home that the doctor sent, where I had to like take a poo sample.
Uh-huh.
There was like this way to do it, and I just ignored it for 2 months. And then Kate started taping the envelope around different parts of our house, and would just say, she'd write in Sharpie, "Send me your poo."
Oh, I saw one of those on the counter.
Yes.
That's what that's all about.
Then I started getting emails and text messages from the doctor, like, hey, you know, basically their version of saying, "Send me your poo." And I was like, all right, fine, I'll get it. I don't know. I just thought it was funny. It's just, I just didn't do it out of pure laziness. And then I'm like, then you finally do it, and I'll gloss over just the details of it. I'm like,
no, please.
This is so funny. I'm like, I'm getting emails, texts, and totally harassed, you know, for these people to send me their poo. It's like, but on the other side of the coin is like, if I were to poop in an envelope and like send it to an ex-girlfriend, like I'd be on an FBI watch list and probably get some kind of a harassment charge.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I'm saying it's a fine line.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, a knife in the hands of a surgeon could save your life, but in the hands of a crazy person, it's, they're become a killer.
Yeah. Good point.
One time I worked at this restaurant when I was 18 and there was a Shigella outbreak.
What's that?
It's like a food poisoning.
Okay.
But it's a fecal-borne illness. So somebody in the restaurant didn't wash their hands and contaminated the food in there. They finally like whittled it down to. So all of the employees, and I think Mike was working there actually at the time.
Right.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
We all had to, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
We all had to shit and gather a sample.
Really?
And send it in to be analyzed.
To see who had it?
To see who had it. I don't know why pointing the finger at one of us was important, but it was. Probably to do some sort of tracing of it, whatever.
Yeah.
And so everybody had their story of how they gathered their shit. Like, everyone had a different technique. Like, some people put, like, a paper plate in the toilet and, like, propped it up and then shit on the paper plate and then got it. It was, everyone was talking about it for like 2 weeks or a week at the restaurant.
I don't. Yeah. Wow.
Poop.
That's awful.
Dude, I did the stupidest thing this morning.
Okay. You gave your kid your car keys to play with?
Found the car keys.
Did you?
Yes.
Where were they?
Yes. Well, true to form, Junior, as soon as he lost any, you know, even the slightest bit of interest in my car keys, just drops them.
Yeah.
Right? It turns out he dropped them most likely on the sidewalk out in front of our house. And some good Samaritan picked them up, didn't put them in my mailbox, put them in the apple box that we have on our fence of free apples because we have just inundated with apples.
Right.
Which is, you know, I'm grateful that someone found them, but... It rained that night, and so it might have been nicer to have them in the mailbox. But anyways, I'm very glad to have all the keys back, and I will not make that mistake again.
Yeah.
But I found a new mistake this morning that I will not hopefully make again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are paying any very close attention to my mustache, but
I see that.
Does it look a little off?
Yeah. What's going on there?
So I was trimming it up in the mirror this morning with an electric trimmer, and I'm getting like really close to the mirror, bzzz, getting a little here, bzzz, a little bit there, and I bump the fucking mirror, and the razor just goes bzzz, fully right into the middle of my mustache. So now I have this big bald spot in there, and Melissa's like, "Oh, guess you got to shave it."
I don't know. I might be onto something new here.
Of course. This is the Vanilla Ice version of my mustache.
I was rocking the mustache. I always try to rock that or the beard for deer season.
I was noticing it.
But here's the problem, though. It's like,
dude, you look fantastic in a mustache.
Dude, I look like there's two kinds of attention that I get. When I used to go to the store, I refuse to go to stores anymore. But I'd go there last time I had a mustache. Is like kind of rough looking gangster dudes get the full stink eye. And I forget they had the mustache. What? I'm like, what the fuck is, what's the deal?
That's in your head.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah. Either that or I get like, other one, like prolonged, like eye contact.
And you like, look kind like of, Bo Duke.
Yeah. Kind of like,
why would that piss off gang members?
No, what it was is I ran this by my wife and she goes, well, you look like two things. You're getting attention and heat from two different populations. They think you're a cop or they think you're a gay guy.
Gay.
I was like, oh my God. And she said that. I was like,
all
it totally makes
gang
sense.
Members are gay.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
I'm either getting the stink eye or I'm getting like the smirk and the head nod with the big smile. Like,
which one were you getting from the gang members?
The stink eye.
Okay.
Right. And so.
Not the stinky pink.
That was like, that's very, very, very different.
Okay.
So I shaved the thing off. And so I did it again this year, which I had for 3-4 days. And
yeah.
Like, dude, it's all fun. Like, look, I got a mustache. But as soon as like you're having a bad day, or my wife and I got in an argument about my son's homework.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we rarely argue, but it was kind of depressing. I'm like, the whole time we're like arguing. And I'm like, listen, like the way that I see the situation is like, you know, we don't want to force him to do this work, but we do need to make him kind of uncomfortable. He needs to be, you know, he needs to learn how to do things that he doesn't want to do. And the whole time I'm thinking like, you have a fucking mustache. You have a fucking mustache. That's all she's looking at is your mustache. It's like, I can't present like a solid case for anything with this stupid thing growing on my lip.
Yeah.
Right,
you need to get through that phase, but that is a real thing. The mustache is like a little buddy for a while until you get used to
it. It's like a pet hamster. And after a while, you're like, yeah, there's a hamster living in the corner of the room.
Holy cow. Do you have any more witty little outtakes?
No. You want to start the show?
I do, but before we start the show, I want to take a minute and remind everyone, we haven't done this in a while, to like our podcast on the app that you're listening to, give us a 5-star review. allegedly that helps with getting other people turned on to it. So we would really appreciate it. I don't know if it actually does or not, but
it does.
Okay. So there you have it. Matt says it does. So,
and please, no matter what your review is, no matter how terrible, we will read it on the air. As long as you give us a 5-star review.
We're dying to read these reviews. And so please send them in. I mean, the worse, the better, in my opinion. And also we have a Patreon page. If you want to support us, go there to Liberty Tree, become a member, get all sorts of cool stuff. And last but not least, Liberty Tree Lifestyle.
LibertyTreeLifestyle.com.
Buy yourself a shirt and send your. Did you ever play that ad where I was telling people to send the defund the IRS shirts to their elected representatives?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I want to get everyone to purchase a defund the IRS shirt now that they're arming the IRS against us.
87,000 new agents.
Buy a shirt that says defund the IRS, send it directly to your representative. And with that, I say we start the show.
I had an a very interesting and unique and very frustrating phone call from a friend slash client, someone who I've been in close contact with for, I don't know, what, six, seven, close to a decade. And they called me specifically. I'm still trying to wrap my head around. We're not the kind of people that just chat on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave
me. You're a dude.
Yeah, exactly. I also get angry when I get texts. So, yeah, if you want to communicate with me, you need to bump into me randomly at like a lumberyard or something like that. Other than that, like I really don't have this kind of time.
Just walking through, hey, I happen to be in your neighborhood again. So I wanted to ask you about something work-related.
Yeah.
So, well, you don't even live near me.
But this person sounded off on libertarians.
And, oh, really? And a very, dude, and, this has been happening a lot lately.
In a pretty aggressive way. So much so that I had to say, like, did something happen to you today? And, like, you need to get some, you know. It was like very tantrum-esque.
Have you been listening to Dave Smith talk about
Dave Smith and Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder?
Yeah.
Kind of seems to be so
interesting.
So I think we should talk about this. So because I think that means, and I don't consider myself capital letter anything except for probably my nationalities and my last name. But
you are both of those.
Yes, thank you. But if I had to identify the closest ideology that just kind of hits home with me would be libertarianism.
Sure.
And it was 10, 15 years ago before I didn't really heard of the word before. It's just, you know, I've always cherished the value of the individual and, you know, personal autonomy. And I've just always been a pain in the ass, punk ass that just like, I just cannot handle people telling me what to do. I couldn't handle it when I was 10 and I can't handle it now. So
leave a message and I'll call you back.
So, yeah, but this person, the reason why it kind of stuck in my craw, because I typically let these conversations die in the vine, just the way my personality is. It's like, I placate them with just nothing. I just,
I know this person, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this kind of morphed in and made me think. I was like, I've kind of gotten this from four or five different people in the last year and a half, 2 years.
One of them wasn't my mom, was it?
No.
Okay.
Her and I don't talk that often.
No?
No.
I'll give you her number.
And then it made me think, because what you brought up with, you know, what's Dave Smith responding to these other, I don't know what you call them, social influencers, political influencers, you know, podcasters, people with their own shows.
Talking heads.
Is, I think it is, the silver lining that I see in this is that this ideology, the ideology that we have kind of gravitated around towards this podcast, and the, you know, the ideas we discuss, which would be very libertarian-esque, I think this is a sign that the ideology is kind of entering
the
cultural zeitgeist.
For sure.
Yeah, because if someone has like whack job ideas, and you're not going to – and I'm not saying that people like Steven Crowder or Ben Shapiro call them whack job ideas. They're just saying – They're getting into a very finite like delineation between like, yeah, I'm more right, not libertarian, and here's why.
Yeah.
And if you're on the left, which I'm finding with this person that I'm talking to, they just conflate the two. Like, well, there's the left, and then there's this all this other shit, which is all like white supremacy and, you know, Republicans or something.
Yeah.
It's dark, just all this other thing.
It's dark and murky and I can't quite see down there, but I know it's bad.
It's all either right or alt-right adjacent or whatever. It's just all this, it's all one ideology.
Right. And unfortunately for them, they don't have Hollywood, academia, the media, politicians, all pop culture,
all social media, all
telling them, beating down their door to tell them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what the people that are to the right of them actually think.
Yeah.
Which is why we have an advantage because we know very, very well what they think.
Yeah.
It's all around us.
That's my point in bringing this up, is that the things, this was only a couple days ago, last week. Is that the things that this person was saying were so completely off base and so, I said, I'm like, I think you're painting with a pretty wide, inaccurate brush. You're conflating like seven different ideologies into this one thing.
Do you remember some of the stuff they said?
Yeah, for sure.
Did you record the conversation?
No, I didn't. That's against California law.
Did this person... Oh, have you ever tried to record a phone call on your phone?
It's impossible. I have through this computer.
The only way you can do it is through some other device.
That's why I just sit here all day. I stop going to work.
did this person call you to tell you this stuff?
Yeah.
Out of the blue?
It was very odd.
Because you haven't worked for them in a while.
No, I mean, not for 6-8 months, something like that. And as a client, the person that, you know, I had a great working relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, I still do. I still love this person.
Great person.
I didn't take it personally. I'm just
kind of insane.
I was, but I was just kind of shocked.
Great stories.
I was just kind of shocked at some of the things, not shocked. I guess I kind of expect it from these people. It's a lot of the things that were being said. I'm like, I kind of figured your guys' brain worked like this, and it's just completely operating on the premise of just blind ignorance. Like, you haven't looked into, like, if I see something that I kind of deplore that I think is a terrible idea, I'd love to learn about it. Like, the amount of reading I've done on socialism and communism.
Well, exactly. Especially if it's a horrible idea that a lot of people seem into.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? What is actually going on here? I want to know what it is. I think you were about to say this earlier and you cut yourself off, but if it's a horrible idea, or a person that just has wacky ideas and nobody cares, no one brings it to light, no one's following them, no one's talking about their ideas, it just kind of fades away into nothing.
Yes,
it's like, who cares? There is no, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, socialism is a great example. So, horrible idea that's never worked and continues to cause pain and destruction everywhere it turns up. And so many people are into it.
Yeah, that silver lining is the same thing. So we talk about, like, with people like Dave Smith, I'm part of the problem, and people like Michael Malice and Pete Quinones, and we see these names popping up more and more and more. And a lot of it is because of the negative attention that they're getting, which I see as a good sign. Because if you thought this was just this fringe ideology and it was harmless and it's never going to, you know, gain any traction, you wouldn't be talking about it. I think the people are realizing, like, shit, this thing is growing. Like, we need to start talking about, like, how absurd it is.
Right.
It's like weird ex-girlfriend thing.
It's funny, too, because I don't think that it is a, for most people, a calculated move. They're not doing it intentionally.
No, no, not at all.
I don't think Alex Jones was talking shit about libertarianism intentionally.
No.
I think, though, that the zeitgeist is changing a little bit and libertarianism is bubbling to the surface. I mean, they made some really big waves when the Mises Caucus took over the party.
Correct.
I mean, that fucked over a lot of Beltway libertarians, left libertarians, and probably, this just occurred to me, it probably screwed up a lot of plans for the deep state actors who were infiltrating the Libertarian Party to try to keep it the joke that it is, we used to be.
Right.
Because it's kind of like you can't infiltrate the Mises Caucus very easily.
Yeah.
You can't infiltrate the real, like, staunch libertarians.
You can
they know you.
You can absolutely infiltrate the Libertarian Party. You can be someone like Joe Jorgensen.
Right. Like, not that she
is she was a state actor, but she was such a milquetoast libertarian. It's like, I don't know what, you're basically like a Democrat. You're just a middle-of-the-road centrist, like... And that's what created the Mises Caucus.
Yeah, you show up, knock on the door at her party. It's like, come on in. You're like, hi, I'm a libertarian. Welcome. Do that at the Mises Caucus, and it's like you're trying to join the Proud Boys.
I think this has to do with a couple different things. I think it's within the last 2 years with the COVID, with the BLM riots, and the where, you know, we had politicians saying, like, well, no, like, you don't need social distancing. The riots are so important. Like, you know, that doesn't count. Or what about my kid being in school? Like, no, that's ridiculous. Where you want to kill your grandma? It's like, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, dude, the math is not adding up. And then with all the COVID pandemic, and, you know, we're seeing all of our people lost their small businesses. They lost their job because they want to take a mandated vaccine. Their kids lost, 2 years of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And, the silver lining of that is, like, the last 2 years, we created more libertarians, I think, in the last 2 years than we have in 50.
Yeah.
Of people that, I know some of these people personally, people that were just far left Democrats. I mean, people in my family that were like, I checked out those podcasts that you sent me, and it really makes sense.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm realizing that they are complete, like, just lying degenerates that are controlling our nation right now. Republican or Democrat, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And we really need to look at something new. And these are people that, like, voted Democrat for 50 years.
It took a long time, and it took a lot to crack into that shell. But, I mean, if this pandemic didn't do it, then not much will.
Yeah.
I mean, it finally pushed people to the point, like, wait a second. Like, finally, their common sense kicked in. And just like you said, like, you're telling me kids have to stay home. People that are not vulnerable to this disease have to stay home and become retards. But at the same time, we can have Black Lives Matter protests, and we're not going to stop that in the name of saving grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made me really think about that. Because just given in our geographical area that we live, which is very close to the complete cesspool, it is the Bay Area of California, San Francisco Bay Area, is we live in such an ideological echo chamber that I think given by what our chosen ideology is, which is more of a, probably, I guess you could describe as a right-leaning, libertarian-leaning, I don't know, whatever, pejorative it would be in this area.
Conservative.
Yes. Is
anti-statist.
Yes. I've always,
which to me, yes, is the you. Most,
that's like, the most accurate.
Yeah, accurate. And I sure. feel most comfortable with that, because it says exactly what it is. What is libertarian?
I always say, like, anti-collectivist.
Anti-statist. You said anti what?
Anti-collectivist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Same thing.
Yeah.
Is you get used, and I've been used to this for quite a while, like, I just keep it close to the vest, and I just kind of, when people rant at me and throw their, especially, I learned this, hone this skill, we've talked about this before, but when Trump was in office, as you're just surrounded by this tantrum 24/7. It's like, you just sit down and have a beer after work, you want to sit and watch a game, you want to go to a dinner party, you want to go to family Thanksgiving, it's just like the same tantrum over and over, and you just develop the skill of just nodding your head. You go, It's like, I'm not going to argue with you, because, it's the same reason I don't argue with my 7-year-old at that time. It's like, where's this going to go? You know what I mean? And when you do finally, pull the plug and start voicing your opinion, and people just lose their shit because they live in this echo chamber, and they're always operating under the assumption that you agree with them, because they're surrounded by people that agree with them.
Everyone agrees with them.
Yes. And so when you push back, or just even like ask some questions, you see like the full, like, mad rage.
Or like that.
Because these people, as being statist and us being anti-statist, the state, the collective, their politics, that's their religion. And we've always said this, like, you just committed blasphemy by questioning it.
Like Anthony was telling us about that time that he was talking to a guy at the pub, and somebody scurried over to tell him, you can't talk to him. He voted for Trump. Like, what?
That's
the world that our little microcosm, that's where we live. Like, people actually think that everyone thinks so much like them that there's this one guy that they know voted for Trump. I mean, I don't know who anyone voted for.
Yeah.
Right? Do you?
No, I mean, I don't care.
Unless we've talked about it or something.
Yes.
Like, I didn't even know who my wife voted for until like a few weeks ago.
That would be, and just.
You know that, and you're going to say, like, oh my God, there's this fly in the ointment.
Yeah. And just to point out that we're not going to bat for our team. Like, let's say, I don't know, I just found this complete redneck oasis, like hunting lodge, and we're listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd and just eating handfuls of meat and just everything that the left thinks that we probably do on the weekends. But like,
is what you do.
Okay. So fair enough. But if the guy I'm talking to went to the bathroom, and then some redneck in camo, like, ran over to me, like, you can't talk to that guy, he voted for Bernie, I would say the same thing. Like,
yeah,
why the fuck do I care if that guy voted for Bernie? Like, what does that matter? Like, that does
that
not matter.
That would never happen.
No.
By the way.
It would not.
That would never happen. And if you think it would, it's because the dark murky place that you see conservatives living in. You can't actually tell what they do and what they think. Unless you're listening to this podcast, because we've talked about it so much, you know what we think.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. People don't understand conservatives. They think that everyone, and I'm speaking about people around us right here where we live, they think that everyone thinks exactly like they think. And when they find someone who doesn't, it just is completely, like, earth-shattering. Not everyone. Obviously, I'm painting with a wide brush here. But it is a phenomenon, and it's pretty weird.
Gertrude.
Damn it.
My cousin.
God, we got to edit that out because I'm about to talk about this friend of mine. No, I'm going to say it. My
cousin's
boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say Christmas of 2020 gave her a Christmas present that said, in this house, we believe that Black Lives Matter. We believe in science.
Mm-hmm.
It had all these things listed, like six or eight things on there. Every single one of them was a political statement.
Yeah.
We
actually got one of those too.
Okay. And so my point of bringing that up is that just to think that you could send that, and I mean, in his defense, Gertrude probably did, you know, which is definitely more open to having that present than I was. But I was like, I'm throwing this thing in the goddamn garbage. This is ridiculous.
That's what I did with ours.
I can't believe you would have the audacity to send a political present into my house without knowing. You just assume that we all think in this narrow-minded way that you think.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it pissed me off. I'm obviously still pissed off about that. I hope that didn't just get her fired.
This whole thing made me think about, so, you know, while we're on that subject of just being surrounded by people that always kind of assume that you are subscribing to the exact same ideology that they are, which is, I can't really blame people for having that assessment because for the most part, it is true, like where we live. I've always thought it was just really fucking rude. You know what I mean? I don't know. I maybe have the old school brain. Like, keep that shit to yourself, man. It's like, no one, don't assume about other people. You know, don't politics. You know, it's the same people that think, like, no, it's fair game because, you know, this is so important. And I know that I'm so right. And then I'm like, that's the same thing as me. It's like, I'm guessing you're an atheist. That's the same thing as me going like, no, you need to hear about God. I know that I'm right. And I don't want you to go to hell. And like, you would fucking lose your shit. You'd be tearing your hair out, spinning in the middle of the street, like Leatherface at the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, screaming at the sky. If I did that, I'm not going to do that. I think it's rude. Like I would really appreciate, you know, the reciprocity of those manners.
Yeah.
Which just doesn't happen here. This really hit home for me.
It used to.
Yeah. This hit home for me when I started thinking about this because I was having this conversation with this person and then I kind of started backtracking. I'm like, when did we take this like sharp turn when it was like became really obvious that this was a thing? You know what I mean? That you would have to sit there and be subjected, you know, to people's like political rants and their tantrums. Obviously, it happened during the last election, or the Trump election is what set everyone off. Yeah, but then again in 2020, because, you know, quote unquote, so much was on the line. And I remember getting texts from like family and friends, and they started saying like, hey, did you see the Democratic primary debates? Like a lot of good points. You know, I thought Pete Buttigieg made some good points about, you know, transportation, but Biden really hit his stride with the border. I'm like, why would you think that I watched that, much less like am up for a discussion about, like, you know, if I want to watch a bunch of doddering old people yell over the top of each other, I'll go to a fucking IHOP, you know, at least that way I'll get some fucking pancakes out of the deal. Why are you texting me like what Bernie Sanders said during the Democratic primary debates?
Especially when what they're talking about is how to best rule over you, steal your shit, and then use that to create some dystopia that we all have to live in. Well, Amy,
Klobuchar.
Thank you. Yeah, but she had some good points about it. I mean, the way that she's gonna steal your money, fuck you over, and then use that money to hit you over the head with is, you know,
Yeah.
Was pretty solid.
Is it slightly more nuanced than the way that Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg wants to do it? I remember one time, like, just being knee deep, and I got really interested in the project for the New American Century. I was like, did you know that they wrote the Patriot Act, you know, almost a year before 9/11, and it states in the report that in order for us to make this cultural turn, to get all these ideas proposed that we have in this report by the PNAC of turning the U.S. into a complete surveillance state, warrantless wiretaps, spying, you know, warrantless detentions, Guantanamo Bay, all the stuff we want to do, and then all pushing towards a complete restructuring of the Middle East. You know, it's just evil, the most evil genius shit. And like reading about this, and then you look farther into it and you're going, wow, did you know that the CIA was training the Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda, you know, in the 80s, of like how to commit terrorist attacks with airplanes, you know, like, here we go, we have 9/11. And reading all this stuff, I'm like, this is so fucking interesting. And like, I can't believe more people don't talk about this during the Democratic primary debates. And I'm getting a text about like, what do you think about what Bernie Sanders said about universal healthcare? It's like, we're living in two different planets. We speak different languages. Like, I don't give a flying fuck what Bernie Sanders said about
healthcare. Might as well be asking.
Do you realize like we are being fucking subjugated by degenerate psychopaths?
Yeah.
Like, that's all that matters. Republican, Democrat, they are all fucking war criminals.
Yep.
That's all that matters. Like, stop. Like, I don't care about the highlights of this dog and pony show that you're watching on fucking cable network TV. It's,
Yep. I hear you. Did you ever say anything back to your client?
Yes.
To stand up for libertarians?
So, I brought up the fact that this person shovels mainstream media into his face, MSNBC, CNN, all what he considers left. I mean, I don't think Fox News is any much different than it's all this state-controlled media. It's all they have one narrative to push. You know, right now it's Ukraine. Although
Fox does a better job.
Slightly, yeah.
There's two people on Fox for sure that you can count on. That's Kennedy and Tucker.
Tucker Carlson, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not that you can count on them, but
you're
going to get a different opinion.
We just made like 80 people punch their dashboard, right? But you guys keep listening. It's adorable. And I just tell those guys, like, look, I think you're making some assumptions about me just the way you're talking. And you're obviously conflating libertarian, whatever that is rattling around your head for what that means. But you seem to just make it synonymous with the right and synonymous with the Republican. And all three of those things are fucking crazy different. I've always felt that I don't consider myself a libertarian. I don't consider myself on the right. Sure as shit, you know, I hate the left. I can say that pretty safely. I was like, but the idea of squeezing everything, you know, something as nuanced and complex as an ideology into a binary is completely silly to me, of, you know, making it left for right. And then, intellectually five levels below that of making it Democrat versus Republican is just fucking silly to me. Because you are watching sports. I thought to myself, like, you're watching sports. I'm like, no, you're not watching sports. Sports is actually more legitimate because it's two teams actually competing against each other. And there is something on the line. There's a Super Bowl ring or a fucking trophy or a Stanley Cup or whatever. And
if I may, in sports, there are rules. You wake up in the morning knowing that the rules are going to be the same as they were yesterday. And you're going to have this battle with the other team. And no one's going to change the rules on you mid-game. That's why the phrase moving the goalposts is such a effective, correct phrase, is because you're taking something like sports where the rules are set in stone and literally changing them mid-game.
I told this person, I was like, look, let's just lay out some facts, right? Since you have your heels dug in to the tribal binary. You know, you are all in on this religion. Your religion is the left and the right is your enemy. And you keep talking about, I'm using your words, but you're talking about Democrat versus Republican. So here are some facts. Democrat, Republican, they both want the federal government to grow, right? traditionally, maybe 30 years ago, that wasn't, you know, the Republicans at least said they wanted a smaller government. That is not true anymore.
No.
They are both in office to prop up the Federal Reserve and the central banking system.
Primary goal of
that is the number one goal. Yeah.
Everyone in office.
They are both pro foreign military intervention and military aggression. They both want the federal government to have a constantly increasing role in your life, which always results in an erosion of liberty.
Right.
They both want to eliminate the middle class.
Every law that gets passed every single day, every single tiny little law is one more chip off of the block of liberty.
Do you know they write something like 10,000 pages of new legislation to be proposed every day?
Yep.
It's insane. Yep.
Every word in there meant to restrict your liberty.
They both want to eliminate the middle class and implement a top-down crony capitalist system.
Mm-hmm.
Of a very concentrated political elite at the top, and everyone else, there's going to be two class, or basically a caste system.
Also known as fascism, by the
I was just gonna say,
definition.
By the way,
what fascism actually is, a public-private partnership.
Yeah, by the way, left, this is what fascism is. Fascism is not a parent standing up at a parent-teacher conference, a school board meeting, going like, I'm not okay with my fifth grader going to drag queen's story hour. Like, can we talk about this? That's not a fascist. A fascist is an oligarchy, a corporatism, and the federal government and big tech and corporations working
making
together.
A rule that says that you have to inject an experimental chemical into your arm or else you're fired.
Well, I didn't hear about that on the news. Well, it's because the people making that experimental jab, you know, make up for 75% of your ad revenue. I'm sure there's no connection there.
No, they wouldn't do that is the thing.
You know what? Also, when we talk about fascism, the fact that both Republican and Democrat is, think about the revolving door model that we have between lobbyists, corporations, big tech, and government.
Right.
People like John Boehner. Here, I'll pick on the Republicans since you think I'm a Republican. People like John Boehner, like, yeah, I'm going to retire. Walks across K Street, and he's got a lobbying job waiting for him for, you know, $3 million a year for some no-show job, you know.
Dick Cheney was the classic example.
Dick Cheney is the perfect example.
The CIA, ex-CIA, who are now working in the actual news, they have shows on the news that you're getting. Do you realize you're getting your news from CIA operatives?
Yes. And we also, under the
Obama... No, they retired, though.
Under the Obama administration, we actually renewed, due to no deadline, the Smith Modernization Act, which basically legalizes propaganda from the state cathedral.
Yeah. Can you believe that? It was not illegal for the U.S. government, in case you don't know what Matt's talking about, to propagate propaganda on foreigners. Mm-hmm. It was fine for anyone in America to come up with ad campaigns and propaganda campaigns that tried to influence foreigners. But it was always illegal to use that against Americans. Until your beloved Barack Obama removed that restriction. And since then, what do you think? I mean, I don't think anyone would make propaganda against Americans, because that's just un-American. I mean, all of these corporations are very, very American. Right. You know, they bleed red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
America First, I think, is most of their slogans. So they don't take jobs overseas. They don't live
America
overseas.
First.
They
keep their America money. America First put you on a no-fly list.
That's right.
That's something else.
They keep their money in American banks. They don't put it offshore like those... Oh, wait, no, that's them.
Small businesses.
Yeah, all those mom and pop shops that are trying to get away with not paying taxes. God, they should, you know what? The IRS should hire more people and go after them. Oh, they did. Good.
That's right. They did that too.
Check.
So as I was talking to this person, I was getting all the usual talking points, you know, about he conflated libertarians with, you know, militias and white supremacy and anti-vax rednecks. And
could you give me one example, please?
No.
That is what I would say.
Yeah.
If I were you.
No. Here, no.
One you know, example you know of what that I said? Happening.
You know what I said? It's – here's one thing. If you're not going to listen to what I say, and I'm not going to explain – I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about – anything with like complex or nuance when you're throwing a tantrum, because you're obviously called to just download on me And I was laughing the whole time. And
I can't believe he called you.
I had actually said, I was like, you said so many things that are inaccurate or just outright false. Like, I gotta be honest. Like, I don't even know where to start. I was like, so I'm going to distill it down to its most simple philosophy. And that is the hub for which the libertarian ideology stems from. And that is the non-aggression principle. It's if you believe in being anti-war and anti-foreign military aggression, the most legitimate and consistent party that we have is the libertarians. It's the Libertarian Party. I was like, that is a fact.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Do you know what this person held up as to refute my argument?
Hold on. So they would... I'm guessing that their rebuttal would be
their shining example of their example of peace and anti-war.
Yeah. So they're just going to say the Democratic Party is peaceful and anti-war because they...
This is their example of leftism perfectly executed. And it was rebuttal to my point when I brought up, like, listen, if you don't care about anything else, let's say... Let's take taxes off the table. Let's just we're not going to discuss free market ideals. We're not going to talk about bodily autonomy. All these things are important, like equally important. But let's pick this one thing that is more important than anything else, and that is murdering innocent people,
right?
Violating the non-aggression principle. So obviously I'm talking about military aggression,
right?
Bombing the shit out of women and children on the other side of the world. Can we agree that that's more important than all this other stuff?
Yeah.
So the libertarian ideology is more consistent and more legitimate than any other party because it all stems from the NAP, the non-aggression principle.
Right. His rebuttal couldn't be, well, the libertarians did this because the libertarians never had power. So he has to be saying the Democrat Party did this in order to promote peace.
His example was
bombing Kosovo.
No. He's like, what about Obama? Obama ran as an anti-war candidate and won the Nobel Peace Prize. And I just fucking started laughing. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Your rebuttal to what I said for the non-aggression principle and foreign military aggression is Obama. And he should have just
played along. He's like, that's gang. I didn't think of Obama. That's right. Cause he didn't do, what did he not do? He didn't invade Libya. He didn't invade Somalia.
I told this guy and I just ran down the list. I said, so after I was done laughing, I asked, are you serious? You gotta be kidding me right now. He goes, yeah.
I mean, if you had said Trump, I would think that maybe, you know, you might, you know, be able to argue that point.
He goes, no, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. And I just said, like, well, let's dissect what you're saying a little bit.
Did you read one piece of news over the last 8 years and it was just that Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize? Well, good enough for me. That settles it.
When Obama, and I voted for Obama the first time because he ran on anti-war.
Yeah,
he was against the invasion of Iraq. I was like, this is my guy. All I cared about back then as a dyed-in-the-wool lefty, Democrat, lifelong, was anti-war and anti-military aggression. I knew back then that it was wrong to kill people on the other side of the world,
yep,
innocent civilians. And I'm just a fucking wingnut. I still believe that. Sorry. And if you're on the left and you claim that you have those ideals, you're fucking wrong. And you're a fucking hypocrite. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break this to you.
Did you make a dent?
I was like, listen, when Obama entered office, we were involved in, that we know of, two active military campaigns. Obama expanded that immediately to Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, Libya. Not to mention like the CIA-induced hostilities in Iran, what, Venezuela, and Colombia. That's just the ones that we know of. He took us from, I don't know, depends on how you want to define war. I would say, well, we didn't go to war in Libya. I was like, yeah, we bombed the shit out of them. So I'm calling that a war.
Destroyed their country.
We didn't declare war on anybody.
Right.
Because then we would have to adhere to the Geneva Conventions,
right,
which everything that we did goes against those conventions.
Sure.
So if you don't declare war and you just do a warrantless fucking drone strike on a wedding party and a funeral and a children's hospital, yeah, we don't, there's no standards that we have to adhere to. Yeah,
there were no boots on the ground.
Yeah. He also came up with, you know what was innovative of the Obama strategy, the administration rather, is, have you ever heard of the double tap?
Yeah.
Yeah, the double tap drone strike. We're going to bomb the shit out of this wedding. Then we're going to wait 30 minutes for the first responders to show up. And then we're going to fucking bomb them again. That was brand new. That hadn't been done between the Obama administration. And I'm not bringing this up to pick on Obama, because Trump prolonged those wars, mm-hmm. even escalated a few. Biden did the same thing, prolonged those wars, escalated them.
Started a new one.
Yeah. I'm bringing this up to point, like, don't look down your fucking nose at me because I think that the Federal Reserve is corrupt and the federal government and the central banking system should be disseminated, like fucking ruined. It's like, if you're counter to my ideas, is if you want to call me like a fringe wingnut, well, your guy, your shining beacon example of like morality and fucking leadership is like literally responsible for the deaths of over a million civilians. I'm talking about civilians, women and children. Like, why the fuck do you get to look down your nose at me? That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Should we end the podcast right there? Yeah. Well, did you make a dent? That's what I'm going to
know. Not at all.
Yeah, of course.
No. He actually said, he's like, I just think if you're a libertarian, like you shouldn't be able to drive on the roads. That was, I'm like,
that was like my mom's, I'm going
to explain that to
you. Oh, great. Oh, you're a libertarian. So what? Kelly, we're going to just get rid of all the traffic lights.
I had that discussion. I was telling this like full religious zealot statist about free driving, and they were just abhorred. Like, what if everyone do that? I mean, there would just be people dying, the traffic fatalities all over the place. I'm like, right. Do you not understand the concept of like individual self-preservation? Like, do you not think I have a vested interest to show up to work without fucking dying in a car wreck? Do you not think I take these things in account? Like,
I would just off myself.
Their idea,
red arrow.
The picture in their mind of like was me with both hands over my eyes and flooring it. Like, we'll see what happens because freedom. You know what I'm saying? I was like, do you really think, like, if you didn't have this giant bureaucratic entity making decisions for us and holding our hand and telling us everything, what we couldn't do, which increases every year, that we would all just die? There'd be no schools, there'd be no roads. Like, we wouldn't figure this out. We have no vested interest in providing these things, including the safety in our community. Like, it's comical to watch. Like, it's a psychology. I'm like, you truly don't understand the concept of individualism and like self-autonomy and making decisions with your community and your neighbors and your family of like what's right for you. You really truly feel it's a religion. You really truly feel that you need this giant entity to step in.
Like, you have Stockholm syndrome.
Here's this is how fast you this is what you can drive, this is how much meat you can eat, this is how big your house can be, here's what you can do with your yard, like it's everything. Here's what you can do with your business, here's what you can do with your property, on and on and on. Like, you, the concept of making these decisions for yourself is, it's not something you don't like. It's fucking foreign to you. Like, you fully do not understand it.
Yep. To the extent that you do understand it, you would rather be locked in that prison than have to fend for yourself out in the free world.
It's an easier life.
Yep. You want to get more on that?
No.
Check this out.
I just want to remind everyone, too, that it just keeps popping up in my head. I just want to remind everyone of our Liberty Tree prediction that the Democratic Republic of Congo is going to get its fucking democracy dropped on its ass soon, since they own the bulk of the mines producing via child labor with cobalt and lithium, which we are all going to need for these mandated electric car legislation that we passed.
Speaking of, did you get one of these in your mail?
No, I don't read the mail.
This is a pamphlet.
That's how the government tracks you, man.
It's a pamphlet from PG&E. It says, "A safer electric system for you." So it's kind of thick. I'll summarize. You know what it is about? Guess how they are talking about making a safer electric system.
Not actually using your electricity?
In fact, shutting it off.
Are you serious?
Swear to God. This is all about them shutting the power off in case there's wildfires, or to prevent wildfires. So we live in a state where their innovation to keep us safe is to shut off the goddamn power. How do we get to this state?
Shut off the power anytime it's too hot or it's too windy.
Yes.
Yet we also are looking at a giant propaganda push for more solar and wind energy.
Right.
Instead of coal.
And electric cars.
And electric
which
cars.
Which we will not be able to power. Because we're going to be shutting off the electricity when it's hot or windy.
When Gavin Newsom said that he wanted 100% of all cars to be in California to be electric by 2035, we talked about this in the last podcast. Literally 2 days later, they put out a PSA like, "Do not charge your electric car; you're going to overwhelm the power grid." Which right now, like what we're under in California, the national average is less than 1%. I'm saying California, we're probably I'll give you 3%.
You got to imagine someone saying to him, like, "Governor, don't you think that these are two contradictory ideas? Should we put them out right next to each other?
Could you at least space them out? Maybe 10, 15 days?
Nah, it's fine. Yeah, fuck them." So I like this one. Take action. So they have an image of this woman on her computer, and here's this high-tech planning map and an outage map. So when you're taking action, you need to go view current outages and restoration times
on your computer
at Beach. Are you fucking kidding me? This is and they make it a point to show how high tech and it's all up on a map and it's all computerized. Really, that's the solution. We can't have an electrical grid that fucking works. No, you have to get up with the technology to find out when we're shutting off the power. Find out when we're going to turn the clock back to the 1860s. Fucking ridiculous.
That's awesome.
So, Gavin Newsom was being interviewed the other day. And he had this to say.
Was he doing that thumb motion that Obama did?
Of course.
Awesome.
If he's talking, he's doing the thumb motion.
Are more people leaving California for Texas or leaving Texas for California?
Well, we lost about 182,000 folks in the last
century. But how do you explain that against the backdrop of those very remarkable statistics you just cited?
Many factors, and there's been two deep analysis that drives the number one factor, the vast majority, almost the entire amount, impacted because of the visa policies in the Trump administration. No point of success
is- Yes. Oh, dude. That would be something I would have, like, if you told me to guess, I'd be like, that's too on the nose.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's spin it. Like, put some kind of unique spin on it.
God, I mean, that's what I hear people talking about all the time is policies that the Trump administration put in. I just can't take California anymore. I'm moving to Texas because these visa policies of the Trump administration are just driving me batty. Fuck off. I can't believe the balls on this pencil neck geek.
That's fucking awesome.
Isn't that great?
Why'd you leave California? Dude, it's just Trump country. I couldn't deal anymore.
Visa policy? You took the words out of my mouth.
That's why we moved to Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We live in the most failed state in the union. And the only hope we have is that it fails to the point where people wake up and take California back. Because it wasn't always like this. California used to be the land of innovation, where people dreamed of making a new life and coming out here and starting over. And I mean, it was America kind of personified, right? The American dream was California. Now it's a goddamn cesspool.
Yeah.
And Trump's visa policies are just making it too hard to live here. Oh my God.
I've read up on several different sources about this, but once people have a complete loss of confidence in their elections, that is the downfall of every society. I would argue we are around that bend already. And I think that was the impetus for that speech that Biden gave, basically laying the groundwork for saying, like, look, basically we know we're going to lose. What we're saying is if we do lose, that means these MAGA Republicans, these extremists, have hijacked the election.
They cheated.
Yeah, and then that's basically a declaration of war. And although they didn't say it was declaration of war, but as I played on that solo podcast, I did. Then the corporate media, immediately after the speech, they picked up that narrative almost as if it was already given to them. As CNN, MSNBC, CBS, like every single news outlet, they brought it up. Like, yeah, that we're at war right now. This is a declaration of war. If the election, turns out to be fraudulent and everything, they're laying the groundwork to create, basically start the beginnings of a civil war.
Well, and it's no mistake that when they talk about extremists, libertarians are a group that they call out.
Absolutely.
Right? People that tell the truth, essentially.
No, the FBI has already designated the Don't Tread on Me flag.
The Betsy Ross flag.
The original flag
of our country.
Yeah. To be
symbols of
extremism.
Extremists. Yeah.
Yep.
I know.
It's
so get yours at libertytreelifestyle.com. They're on sale.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind this is being done intentionally. It's they're trying to provoke basically a violent basically insurrection, not this fucking lame ass insurrection where someone meanders into the Capitol, invited by the way, and puts his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk and takes a selfie. I'm talking about an actual insurrection in which you gotta be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I mean, you keep poking someone in the chest, there's gonna be a reaction. And I don't know.
It's not gonna be good.
Good luck.
Well, it's not gonna be good for them. It's probably not gonna be good for us either. You know, the last thing we really want is a violent takeover of our government, because who's to say the people that take over are actually going to be,
right,
you know, libertarians.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be right-wing versions of who's there now.
Right.
You know, just
which
rabid.
To go back to the thing we were discussing earlier, is let's say there's a giant right-wing takeover via bloody revolution. I don't think there's any real difference between that and what we have now. There's no difference between the right and left. They're the same people. They're both authoritarians. They might dress themselves up in different colors. They might have some slightly different talking points around, I don't know, Roe versus Wade, for example. You know, other things that are, in my mind, kind of less important than kind of the bigger framework that's going on right now. But it's a dog and pony show. It's a sports game with no fucking legitimate foundation. Bring on the night.